God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Paul said, change your speech. How do I change my speech, Reverend? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How do I change my speech? How do I change my speech? I study foreign languages. I'm fluent in one, and the other one kicking my head. I'm telling you, I can't say what I want to say because they're taping, but it's a challenge. That's the Russian. Russian's a challenge. It ain't going to be as easy as Italian. And it's just hard. But why is it so hard for me at 27? And it wasn't hard for me at 5. Because the part of the brain that learns those things has been so saturated with the colloquialisms and the slang of this language that you have to push it out. It doesn't leave of its own. At this age, you can't learn as easily as you can when you're at 5 and 6 because the part of the brain that retains that has yet to be polluted by all the things that are negative. So you really, when you go back to school, those of you that are 40 and above, when you go back to school after that, you really have to push and motivate yourself because you just don't have that get up and go. It's went. I preached a funeral. On my Jamaican side, we had a cousin that died, and they asked me to preach the funeral. And so when I preached the funeral, I said, you know, we sit here today to honor my cousin Dwight, and he had, you know, gone home to be with the Lord. He's a believer. And I said, our lives are broken into 3 areas: go, go, go slow, and no go. Now, go, go is when you're young. You just get up and go. You don't think about anything. You even go outside with jacket on, and it's 2 degrees below zero. You just go. You run across the street. But then you hit that magic age of 40. Then you start going slow. You used to take 2 and 3 steps at a time. Now you hold the railing and take 1 at a time because your knees just don't give you the support that you used to have. And go slow lasts from about 40 to about 60. You just slow down. You wait for the light now to cross the street. And then when you do, you walk real slow after you make sure there's no car in your line of sight. If there's a car 3 blocks away, then you'll cross the street. And then there's no-go. No-go is when you just stay in the house and wait for people to come pick you up. You going to the reunion? Not if I don't get a ride. And once you get to no-go, after that is death. And our lives are really that way. And see, when we get to those points in our lives when we begin to see a substantial change, the truth is we don't know how to handle it, so we panic. And we start speaking negatively. When you get to go slow and your mind begins to drop information, or because you have amassed so many files over the years that you might just need a little more time to find a file, rather than take the time to search for the file in your memory, you immediately say, I'm having a senior moment. And the more you speak that negative stuff, the more it shapes your eternal reality. The devil is subtle. He'll have you speak yourself into dementia. And I'm going to tell you unequivocally that many of the conditions that you experience have been created by your speech and your thought process. Listen to our speech. I'm having a senior moment. What is a senior moment? We didn't say that. People didn't say that years ago. They would say, I just forgot. But now all of a sudden, with all of these modern terms, I'm having a senior moment, which means I just forgot, and this is the reason why I forgot. No, you didn't forget because of your age. You forgot because you didn't take time to look through the files. Because really what happens when you get older is your filing system is simply just reorganized. When you were young, what was put into your filing system was self-preservation, money, fun, movement, and going. As you get older, what comes to the front of your filing system is care, relationships, and making sure you're comfortable. And you had to dig far to find them. So you don't remember names. I just tell people right off the bat, I don't know your name. I'm not good with names. I run into people in the market. Ah, Bishop Lambert, how you doing? Hello. I was at Children's Hospital seeing a little baby. A lady came up to me. She said, Bishop Lambert. I said, praise God. She said, I go to your church. I said, so do I. What's your name? I wasn't going to stand there and lie to her. Oh, well, praise the Lord. I know you. I don't know you. I may have seen you. Listen carefully. This is how the enemy gets into us. It's not through those curse words and those hateful feelings and emotions that we associate with demonizing. No, for the believer, he comes in through your mind to challenge your rational thought. He comes up to my Lord Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, same thing he said to the woman in the garden. Did God say? He's trying to get Jesus to second guess. Listen, if you are the Son of God, command the stones be turned into bread. He wanted Jesus to do what Adam and the woman did. He thought Jesus would say, well, I am the Son of God. Let me prove it to him. No, Jesus said, you won't get me to do what you want me to do for something good, because once that has been established, you'll get me to do what you want for something bad. So I'm not even going to do a good thing. Now, later on, he demonstrates that he's the Son of God by taking bread and multiplying it. He didn't turn the stone into bread, but he sure multiplied the fishes and the loaves. But understand, your thought life. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, creation lets people know that there is a God. Creation itself, the order of creation, validates the fact that there is a God. Look in verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark. Where did it start? In their imagination. What happened? They began to think outside of God. How does the devil get your mind away from what God is saying? Okay, I'm preaching here out of Romans chapter 1, but I guarantee you somebody is reading another passage that you have decided to run reference on this scripture while I'm preaching here. That is arrogance. I used to do that as a young, arrogant preacher. When my pastor would be preaching out of Ephesians, I'd be over in Galatians trying to find a comparison verse. Holy Spirit said, go back to Ephesians. He said, you're sowing discord. I said, I'm just trying to find something. He said, but that's not where you're supposed to be. And so I stopped. The Lord does not argue. He doesn't fight against himself. If the Holy Spirit is saying, turn to this passage, why would he tell you to turn to another one? He may tell you to jot something down for later reference. But you can't hear what I'm saying here if you're over there. Why? Where does rebellion start? You ain't going to tell me what to do. Now you're going to try to tell me where to read. Now you're going to try to tell me what passage. Holy Spirit leading me over here. Why does the Holy Spirit? Why is it that our Holy Spirit in Pentecost, just us, because the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians, they don't have this problem. Why is it just our Holy Spirit causes so much division? Sister Roz says, we're going to sing this song. Why is it that somebody else will say, well, the Lord told me to sing this one? Then get off the praise team. Because you can't listen to the Holy Spirit when Roz is the leader of the praise team. Now, I know somebody heard that and they're going to say, oh, who do you think he is? I can't listen to the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can, but he's speaking through her. Because God honors leadership. And there can't be two people. Where does it start? In the mind. Because we think God is speaking to us in a contrary way than he is the leader. And if you ever notice, why is it always different from the direction? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit speak to you and say, okay, well, he's right. I'm going to go along with it. Or you go in, share your concerns. Share your disappointments. Share your frustrations. And reach a compromise rather than backbite, rather than just do your own thing. Where does it start? In their imagination. Look at what he says, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And that isn't always just talking about some animal as much as it is talking about your own brain. I know I'm right. Can't nobody tell me I'm wrong. Excuse me? When you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. The mind is how the enemy gets in. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. Where does the reprobate mind start? It starts when a person does not want to retain God in their private knowledge. In other words, I'm going to do what I want to do. And even if the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, I'm going to give an excuse for it. Rather than, Father, I'm sorry. I messed up. I shouldn't have done it. I need your help. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. That was the difference between Solomon and David. When David fell with Bathsheba, he wrote Psalm 51. And in that psalm, he said, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned and done this thing. He said, wash me with hyssop, purge me, and I shall be whiter than snow. His true heart comes out. He said, just don't take your Holy Spirit away. He doesn't ask for the kingdom. He doesn't ask for his position. He said, just don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. God, I want to be with you. I want you to forgive me. That was his heart. But Solomon, the Bible said, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. It lists that he married Egyptians, Amorites. He married all of those women from the nations that God told them not to be with. His life became an adulterous mess. But at no time did Solomon ever say, God, forgive me. See the difference? Because Solomon had become so swallowed up in being successful that he forgot success starts with your relationship with God. So that's why God calls David a man after his own heart, but Jesus says there's somebody greater than Solomon that's standing before you.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12415A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. You can buy your book online or join Bishop Lambert for a special book signing on Wednesday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church, located at 365 Blackwood Clementon Road in Lindenwall, New Jersey. God is calling Christians to a higher level of spiritual awareness. The Christian and the Culture is a valuable resource for overcoming the tricks of the enemy. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.